Episode 13, How to Save on Your Student Loans.
Welcome to the Frugal Friends Podcast, where you'll learn to save money, embrace simplicity, and live a richer life. Here are your hosts, Jen and Jill.
Hello, y'all. I am Jen.
This is Jill.
And we are your frugal friends on the Frugal Friends Podcast. We're here to help you save money, spend better, and live more fully. And today, we're talking about something that I think this might be like a pillar episode for us. What do you think, Jill?
Possibly. I think a lot of people have student loans and they're trying to figure out how to make those go away. So, yeah.
I mean, I think the biggest like debt beyond like credit cards and mortgages, but I can't be sure. Don't quote me on that, but it's huge.
Yeah. I think even for people who are very anti-debt, this would be the one debt that they have. Maybe in addition to a mortgage, but if you don't have a mortgage, you probably still have student debt.
Yeah, definitely. I know a ton more people with student loan debt than mortgages.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate. So,
yep.
And it's the number one question that I have always gotten since I started writing personal finance is, what can I do to save on my student loans? And I have the same answer and I am delighted to share it. So I can just point people to this episode and I don't have to keep answering the same questions over and over, even though I love to.
Yeah. Now what are you going to do with all your free time then?
I don't know. Flip an RV, which is nice. Going well. I am always covered in paint right now, consistently.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if I like it. I don't know if I could do it, Jill.
Yeah, I do like it. And I actually get paint everywhere. Like I'll get it into my hair, like all into my hair. And Eric's just like, what are you doing? Like, how is it all in your hair? And I'm
bathing in paint.
Listen, I'm in the zone.
I respect you, Jill. I respect so many things about you. And that's just another one.
That's one of them.
Because like, for those who don't know, like Jill does like interiors, Eric and Jillian interiors, .com maybe. It's a thing you do professionally, and I can't do it professionally. I would rather be hiding behind a keyboard.
Yeah. Although most professionals would probably say like, I don't get it in my hair, but I'm not just a professional. I'm an artist.
Yeah. So, but hopefully this little side hustle gig will make us a little money that we can put back into our house because we have some things we would like to do.
Yeah. So.
And mama needs a new laptop.
Oh, my word. Me too. Are you serious? Me too.
Yes. Oh, we've talked about this.
My mouse is shot. I'm now using Eric's computer. It's like legit time for a new computer. So sad day.
Yeah. Well, let's get into our sponsors on that note.
Let's do that. Yeah.
Today's episode is brought to you by Thyme. Mm. Not the herb that you cook with, but the unit you measure days with. Time. Are you trying to reach a financial goal? Are you trying to retire and you want your investments to grow? You can't do that on your own. It just takes time. You trying to pay off debt? It takes time. And sometimes that's frustrating, but time is over all. Word.
Boom. You always get the fun sponsors, man.
Because I get to make them up. I mean, that's not made up. Father Time Industries has truly sponsored the Frugal Friends podcast, and we're completely indebted. Yeah.
We are indebted to Time right now. Everyone listening is choosing to do this with their time that they've been allotted. Yeah. Wow. It goes real deep. I don't think we have time to go that deep. Sponsored by Podcast Crafter. You can find them at podcastcrafter.com. They can meet all of your podcast crafting needs, whether you want a podcast about your life, whether you want a podcast about someone else's life, whether you know someone who's podcasting about life. I don't know how many options there are. whether you're in a business that's podcasting, I don't know what you're up to, but
you
know that you need some help to free up some of that time. Yeah. Check out podcastcrafter.com. They are the ones who make ours sound so sweet and beautiful and mix it up and do our custom soundtrack. And yeah, wherever you're at with your podcast, they've got a package for you. So check them out, podcastcrafter.com.
All right. Well, let's get into this. This episode is going to be super packed, and a lot of it is going to be terms that you've heard before and you think you might be familiar with. But we're going to just shed a little extra light on some of these terms. We're going to give you some resources on what you can do with them, steps you can take. And we're going to share a little bit about our experience and what has been, bar none, most effective for saving on your student loans. Because really, what we're looking at is saving on interest with student loans most of the time. But so yeah, we're going to get into it. And we're going to start with talking about loan forgiveness, obviously, because that is the hot button issue and that everybody wants to know about. So Jill, how familiar are you with loan forgivenesses?
Only a little. So I know that I've heard about all these things that are going to come out and help to forgive loans, but it has kind of to me seemed like this pie in the sky, like only if you're this small minority, maybe. And even then it's going to be a lot of work, which still may be true. So I really have not looked into it much because it just seemed like too overwhelming. How about you, Jen?
I looked into it and I started out, and if you're just graduating college, I think getting onto an income-based repayment or getting started with one is just a good idea because it's really a time thing. You have to make so many payments on it. So in the meantime, while you're figuring out what's best for you, getting on it can't hurt. So that's what I did as soon as I got out of college. And I made about 3 years of payments on just the regular income-based until we decided to aggressively pay off our debt because that was mathematically better for us. And so I spent a lot of time looking at these back in like 2012 to 2015. Mm-hmm. But I've been hearing so many things since I write about personal finance, so many updates with people thinking that they're going to get these like loan forgivenesses and then like either loan issuers or somebody is like dropping the ball, and the years that these people have put in are for nothing and they're still stuck with their loans that they've only made minimum payments on. So I know that's like a real fear factor for a lot of people, like since it's a government program, people don't know if it's going to be around for 10, 20, 25 more years.
Yeah.
So people, I don't think, should worry if they're already on it. I mean, that's like my opinion. Obviously, I'm, you know, not Congress, but I think enough of a stink could be made that if they do end it, that a lot of people will be grandfathered, but it's just not for sure.
Right. Or you could think that you meet all the requirements and then there was some fine print that you didn't read. I don't know.
Exactly. It is like a part-time job making sure if this is the route you're going to go, that you are consistently on top of making sure your paperwork is in every year. And you're also, so we'll just get into it. Like this, we're going to studentloanhero.com first with their complete list of student loan forgiveness programs. And the list is short. So there's like 13 of them. Mm-hmm. And they're not widely available for everyone. Not even in every state are they available. So the first one is public service loan forgiveness. And then the second one is income-based repayment. So we'll talk about income-based repayment first. So your loan payments are capped at 10 to 15% of your discretionary income. And so obviously when you get out of college, that's really low. But this is a, depending on when you started, IBR is for 20 to 25 years that you're making these like smaller payments. And so you have to think about like, where do you want to be in your career in 20 to 25 years when you're thinking about like writing this program out? If you plan to be making six figures in 25 years, which for a lot of people isn't unreasonable, or even if you just plan to double your income, you know, from 30 to 60, you're going to be paying a lot more at the end than you are right now. So like, you can almost guarantee that your payments will like double or triple. But still, payments are capped at 10 to 15% of your discretionary. And then when you're done at 20 to 25 years, over that time, you will also have to have saved the taxes that, so the amount forgiven, they will consider income for you for that year. So that will bump you up to the whatever tax bracket. So say you make like 60 grand and you get 60 grand forgiven, you will be taxed that year like you made $120,000.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Just so, all in 1 year. It like the year that you get forgiven is the year you get penalized.
Yeah. And so if you don't pay it all, if you don't pay your tax bill, because obviously your employer is not going to take out that amount in taxes, you will owe that year. If you don't pay, then you will have to extend that payment, and that will cost you like interest and fees for not paying your taxes up front. So that's like one thing. I think that's the primary thing that I find that people don't think about with this income-based repayment. So, Jill, do you have anything to add?
This is new for me. Yeah, I think that it's something, it's a really good option for people. Because I think especially coming from the social work field, that's always a concern is like, well, yeah, I spent all this money. I spent about the same amount of money on my social work degree as somebody who got a business degree did, only they're going to make a whole lot more than me. So like, where do I fall in this? And like, now I'm going to enter into the nonprofit world and not make a lot of money. So I think this kind of like ratio based repayment plan is an awesome option for people.
Yeah.
Minus the tax thing.
Yeah. And I think for, I think you have to really look, you have to calculate your loans based on what your income potential is, and don't limit your income potential because you want to stay on income-based repayment. That is a horrible idea.
Yeah.
You are much better off if you see your income potential being like average or above average. With the American average is like household income is 50 grand around between 50 and 60. So if you see your household, and when you get married, you have to base it on your like joint. So even like single people should be thinking about this if they ever want to get married. And I'm not a like tax professional, so this is all just like advice like between friends, because
frugal friends.
You have to consult your tax like accountant or whatever to get the numbers for you. But it does make a difference, like decisions you will make in the future. Like it's just planning your life for the next 20 to 25 years when you are in your early 20s or mid to late 20s is a big deal. to make, to just like try and skate by for 20 to 25 years. You really are limiting yourself. And if for some reason it does benefit you, like if you're in the six figures of debt and you are making 30 grand and that's you, that's what you're okay with, then this is an option that you can look at. But you also have to be calculating what your tax bill will be, because you have to pay that. You have to pay that in a lump sum. Like if you are making payments, like you're going to be, you know, probably paying some penalties and interest. So think about that as you are considering this, to be saving along with it. But it's definitely my least favorite plan. Just because if you're in IBR, then you're not working at a nonprofit. You're working at a normal job, which already means your income potential is greater. So for social work and like nonprofits, then we get in the PSLF.
Yeah. Yeah. So like it could pigeonhole you too. Yeah. There's a lot to consider.
Yeah. So 20 to 25 years is just a long time. But if you are somebody who is in the nonprofit sector or government, then you can be eligible for public service loan forgiveness, the PSLF. And that is only 120 payments, so like 10 years. And then you qualify for 100% loan forgiveness and you do not have to pay tax on it. And the payments don't need to be consecutive either. So it's a lot more flexible than IBR. And I think it's set like in a better, it's to motivate people to work these government and nonprofit and like lower paying jobs. So this is understandably a better program. Like it should be enticing because we want people in these jobs that are like quality people.
Yeah, it's a nice thing, honestly, for me. Yes, and I'm in the nonprofit world. But again, that pigeonholing thing, I didn't want to be stuck at one job just because of my loans. And also 10 years, I really want to go hard enough at my loans that like I'm out of debt in far less than 10 years. Like, so for me, that's another reason why I never pursued these things. Like I heard about them, I knew about them, I looked into them a little bit, but reality is I don't want to wait 10 years working at a nonprofit 40 hours a week just to, and then how much have you paid off after 120 payments, 10 years of paying this loan? Realistically, how much are they forgiving by that point? So again, something to consider. But if you're in the place where, you have already done this for 10 years and you still do have something worthwhile to be forgiven, then
And you still have to, the payments that you're making still have to be under IBR. And they can be under IBR, pay as you earn, revised pay as you earn, income contingent. So they still, you still have to pay attention to be in one of those programs. And then also doing your public service, like paperwork stuff too. So it's just like a little extra. But yeah, it does pigeonhole you for 10 years. Like if you are working in a field that you realize in, you know, in 3 years, maybe it wasn't for you. Maybe 17-year-old Jill thought she wanted to do this. And then, you know, 27-year-old realizes, oh, maybe 17-year-old me was wrong.
How could that be?
You made a wrong decision when you were 17
so
or 22.
Wise then.
Wow. And that's like, okay. You should never feel guilty if you get into a profession and like you, student loans should never force you to stay in a profession that you don't love. It shouldn't. Like, and people feel guilty because they've invested so much, but
or keep you from paying off your loans if you have the money to do so.
Right. So yeah, 10 years is still a really long time. Like I worked in like acupuncture and healthcare for 5 years. And it is a profession that I loved and still love and would do again in a heartbeat. But 5 years in, I found this like new thing that I loved even more, or like as much or more. And like, I paid off my student loans, so I didn't feel like I was bound to that. Mm-hmm. And especially like, we were thinking about becoming a nonprofit. And so if that had happened and I had been on PSLF, I would have felt even more like tied down to it. But I had the freedom to go. So it should, even if you love what you got your degree in and what you're doing, do you still want to limit yourself for 10 years to a particular field or sector?
And I'm not familiar. Did you see, like, could you switch jobs within that program as long as it still qualifies, or does it have to be at the same place for those consecutive
years? It just
has
to be 120 on-time payments at a qualifying organization.
While working at one of those. So maybe multiple if you do switch around within the field.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, and it's just like the whole time you're also on IBR for if some reason you decide to leave, like, and not do public service anymore, you'll still be under IBR. But again, like, that one is far, far less forgiving than PSLF.
Mm-hmm.
So, we also have another article from Student Loan Planner that's on public service loan forgiveness. And he has like a pretty cool website where he, especially for like higher earners, will go through kind of who needs, who could benefit more from forgiveness, or who should just like pay off their loans. And I think his thing is like, if your loans are double the amount you make in a year, then you should look into student or student loan forgiveness. And if they're not, then it is financially better for you to pay them off.
Yeah.
Not just financially, but also emotionally.
Yeah. If it's attainable like that, then I agree. Why hold on to that?
Yeah. Debt? And so he gives 40 tips to save on public service loan forgiveness specifically. And since that's really the only program that I will acknowledge for the greater population, there are some, there are some really good loan forgiveness ones a while ago that they have gotten rid of, and they just keep getting rid of the good ones. And so I have a really hard time talking about them because I don't know how long they'll be around.
Right.
Like really good ones for like teachers and nurses and lawyers.
You know, all the important people.
Right. So you don't know how long they'll be around. Obviously, if you have student loans, you've probably already done some research into getting them forgiven, because who of us has not?
How do I make this go away?
Yeah. This was okay when I was like 22, but like now I'm 24 and this is a lot more than I anticipated. Yeah.
I thought I was going to marry rich. What happened?
I know. That was so disappointing. I thought I was going to be able to make $300,000 right out of college.
I never thought that.
I really just went to school to make money, and it was all a sham.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but he has obviously 40, and we're not going to go through all of them, but we'll have the link in our show notes. So if you are working in public service, I would highly recommend that you check out this article. And also, if you are one of those people whose income or whose student loans are more than double your income, and these are all federal, like I'm just talking about federal right now, not talking about private.
Mm-hmm.
So if your federal student loans are more than double your income, then definitely check out studentloanplanner.com, and we'll have the link to this specific public service post in the show notes.
Nice. What's next?
Next, we're going to stick with Student Loan Hero. Because at their core, they're really a website that helps people refinance their student loans.
Yeah. They've got a ton of articles. When you search like anything student loans, they come up. So good SEO, but also good content.
Yeah. So it doesn't make their content any less fantastic.
Yeah.
They do really good studies on student loans. If you're ever looking for ratios or statistics, Student Loan Hero has some good ones. If you're ever looking for debt payoff stories, you can find mine on there. Mm-hmm. So maybe I'm a little biased.
No way. That's awesome.
Yeah. We can put a link to that in the show notes too. So this one is on how, refinancing your student loans, how, six steps to take before you apply. So there is a fine line when you refinance, your federal loans become private. And then you lose all of your access to IBR, PSLF, income-based repayment. I just said that one. So you lose all those benefits and the flexibility that federal loans offer. But you also get a lower interest rate and more motivation to pay them off.
Yeah.
And since this episode is brought to you by time, we...
Time is of the essence.
Time is of the essence, and we can't stress enough that having motivation to pay off your loans in the form of higher payments is really the most helpful. It speeds the process up, and that is what saves you the most in interest.
Because
mm-hmm. If you're not getting it forgiven completely, all you can really save is the interest. Our friend Emily from our Frugal Friends community group on Facebook, she pointed out that if you put your loans on automatic debit, they will take 0.25% off of the interest rate.
Yeah. Thanks, Emily.
Yeah. It's a whole 0.25%.
Hey, that's something.
I did that. it's a little something. But there's definitely something to be said for refinancing, but it's just like refinancing a mortgage. You still have to be prepared. And there's steps that you should take before you apply. I applied to refinance my student loans once. We were in the middle of paying them off, so we didn't have any money in our checking account and wasn't making that much. So... needless to say, I did not get approved.
Better luck next time.
Yeah.
Brought to you by time.
I mean, I always have people calling me on the phone telling me that I'm eligible for a special student loan forgiveness program. They're like, what student loans? Yeah. Where are you getting this?
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Do you ever get like a pit in your stomach? Like, oh my word, I thought I paid it off. What if there's that like lingering thing that I don't know about and they're going to come back and get me?
No, I actually get really angry because I'm like, there are people that legitimately have student loans. And I want to answer their phone calls and tell them this. I was like, you are going to scam them into paying for things that they could get for free. And you're horrible people. But I know they would just hang up on me if I did that.
People generally don't like to be yelled at over the phone telling them that they're horrible people, or in any context, really, whether it's over the phone or in person. But and keep trying.
I learned the hard way. So, if you ever get a phone call about your student loans, like it's not legit. The government has so many more things to do than call you. It will just let you forget about it. And let the interest bill, and then you owe them so much more. So they don't care. Like, you are basically an indentured servant, like, to the government, as long as your loans are around.
Your credit score will just suffer.
Yeah. All right. So This one's from Student Loan Hero as well. It's by Melanie Lockhart. It's take these six steps before applying to refinance your student loans to improve your chances of getting approved. Jill, did you like any of these ones?
Yeah, I think that checking your credit score, I think, was a good one. It's like a good reminder that that is something that exists and something that, that these people are going to base their decisions on, and you should probably know like how you're doing. And it would help too if you're thinking about buying a house at some point.
Yeah, I actually, I was interviewing Farnoosh Tarabi, who is a financial reporter and author and podcaster. And we were talking about credit score awareness is increasing, and it correlates with credit improving, like actions, like paying off debt and keeping a lower like debt to credit limit ratio and all that stuff. So,
yeah.
And it's just become so easy to check your credit score and report. Mm-hmm. There's no reason not to. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree. I think it can be a driver. I think for some people who maybe are rewards based would see that and think, oh, okay, how can I improve this? Or what can I keep doing to keep this score good? So it could have some peripheral benefits as well.
Yeah. And so you want your credit generally to be above 700 to get a good chance to like qualify for one of these student loan refinances. And then if it's not and you want to increase it, you can do number four, which is pay down your credit card debt, because credit card payments have the biggest impact on your credit score. Did you know that, Jill?
I did not know that. Teach.
It is specifically payments to debt that are variable. So like if you're paying off a car or house, that's like a term loan, and you have to pay the same amount every month. But if it's a credit card, like that's really the amount you put on it and the amount you pay, like versus, you know, there's a minimum, but it's really discretionary. So basically the credit that holds you most responsible or that you have the most freedom with, those payments affect your credit score the heaviest. So paying off credit cards is basically the best bang for your buck if you're going for increasing your credit score.
Nice. Good to know.
Yes. And like, don't make late payments on your other stuff.
Yeah. And yeah. Still be responsible.
Yeah. So do everything right. But, yeah, and all these places are going to have different eligibility requirements too. Some are harder, some are like easier. So you definitely want to go and check your eligibility requirements with each of them. There's there's like seven or nine big players, and like Credible and SoFi are probably the biggest ones. You've probably heard those. And so definitely go check with those heavy hitters first and make sure you meet the eligibility requirements. And if you don't, move on. And then you also want to calculate what your savings would be. So there's different terms. It's not just like a one size fits all. You can choose like you want a 5-year term or a 10. You can vary it up by fixed or variable. Definitely fixed is better unless you plan on doing it in like 2 years or something. You definitely want to go with fixed, especially since interest rates are just rising. So you can go, the Student Loan Hero actually has a refinancing calculator that you can use. There are a bunch on the web and calculate your savings to figure out which one you want. I tried to get a 5-year one when I tried it, and obviously they thought that payment was unattainable for me. So yeah, you can, I mean, obviously you can always get, if you want to get the lower interest rate from a refinance, you can go with a longer term, a 10-year, and pay it off like a 5. But I just wanted that added pressure that like would really get me there.
That like you might starve this week if you don't pay your student loan. Mm-hmm.
I would.
That is a motivator.
Yeah. And then 5 and 6 would be to gather your financial documents, because yes, you need to have your tax return available and your student loan information and all that stuff. So mm-hmm. have that ready.
Makes the process go more smoothly too. If it's not like, oh, I got to run to here and where's this and mm-hmm. where's that? Mm-hmm.
I tried to do it on my phone when I was like somewhere. And you can get pretty easily like pre-approved or pre-disapproved. But then once you have that, your rate's like not like locked in forever. You have to go through the actual process and put everything in like officially. Mm-hmm. So it's just like getting a mortgage. You can get pre-approved with some info. And then to actually get approved, you go through this whole thing. So if anybody is familiar with getting a mortgage, it's a very similar process. If you're not, just pay for your credit cards.
Yeah. So did you ever get approved by anybody?
Mm-mm. I got like disapproved or denied. Denied sounds so harsh. once. And, you know, then I was just like, whatever, I'm going to pay it off in a year anyway.
and then did. You did.
And then I did, Jill.
And then did you call up the lenders and shove it in their face?
No, I didn't.
Okay. You just you just paid it off.
Yeah, I just paid it off and forgot about it. Like, honestly. I was like, I never want to see you again.
Yeah.
But yeah, so 6 was obviously look into your financial options. Like we said, look at forgiveness. Look at IBR. They're not things that you should just ignore, but they are things that are it's very unlikely that they will be beneficial. Everybody wants IBR to be beneficial for them, but it might be beneficial to your budget today. Mm-hmm. But you have to like look at the big picture. Like, this is not something you can just think like, oh, I need a $150 payment this month because like obviously I need to like live while I'm young. You have to be looking at time. Father time. Like, if you don't start investing for your retirement, like in your 20s and 30s, you're going to be broke, like at retirement.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's a lot harder to do with a 6.5% like graduate loan.
So, yeah.
All right. That's all I have to say about refinancing. But yeah, there's. We'll post a link to some student loan refinancers that we like. You can also see on this site, like we said, SoFi is on here. Credible is not on this list, but there's like Earnest. That was the one that I got not approved with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Laurel Road, LendKey, Common Bond, Citizens Bank. They're all, you know, the same, and they all offer different rates. They're for different people. Some only do undergrad. Some will do undergrad and graduate. So it really depends.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's our first half. So all that bumming out, I think we need a little change of pace.
We need a change of pace with the
Bill of the Week.
It's time for the best minute of your entire week. Maybe a baby was born and his name is William. Maybe you paid off your mortgage. Maybe your car died and you're happy to not have to pay that bill anymore. Duck bills, Buffalo bills, Bill Clinton. This is the Bill of the Week.
Hi again. I don't know if I'm allowed to leave another frugal Google voicemail. If not, you can like not hear this one, but I have another one. This is Hannah again. I gotta give a shout out to one of my favorite Bills, William Penn, or commonly known as William Penn, for founding the great state of Pennsylvania. Jill and Eric, I don't know if the South is going to win you over. I know Florida is really appealing, but Billy and Penn and I want you to remember all the friends you've got in Pennsylvania. and you can continue to visit Jen. That's okay. You're allowed to go. But don't leave Bill and I in the dust, all right? Don't forget about us. All right? Love you guys. Keep up the good work. Bye.
Oh. Thank you for that, Bill. Jill was just singing. Like, you couldn't hear her in the background, but she was singing. She loved it.
Oh, my goodness.
Gosh, if you want to submit your bill of the week and make our weeks so much better, this is my favorite time of the week. please visit frugalfriendspodcast.com/bill to call our Google voicemail, or you can email us a voice memo to frugalfriendspodcast@gmail.com. We love hearing the bills, and yeah, because we have a lot of bills in our life. And
yeah.
We want to commiserate and celebrate with you.
Yeah. We also enjoy the Hannahs talking about the bills.
Yeah.
So even if you're not a bill, but you have a bill that you want to talk about, we don't discriminate.
About a billionaire.
Oh. Listen, I think we've just already come up with all the best ones. Don't be giving people ideas. Let them come up with this creative genius.
I know. I just spend too much time thinking about it. Anyways. All right. So we talked about student loan forgiveness, and we talked about refinancing your student loans. Our friend Lisa in the Frugal Friends community group, she refinanced her loans, and she is so close to paying them all back. So nice. Excited for her. Yeah, and then our friend Emily with that tip about the student loan interest reduction on auto pay. But we want to share a little bit about our debt and our stories with debt, because we think that personal stories really get the point across better than just lists on the internet.
Especially when your story is killer, like Jen's.
Or Jill's.
Get ready to be pumped.
LOL. Well, I guess I'll go first then.
Yeah.
So if you've spent like 5 minutes around me, you know that I'm obsessed with talking about personal finance. And that was not the case, I would say, three years ago. Absolutely not. I was just like a normal person wanting to go to Disney World on the weekends, wanting to go to dinner with friends.
Wait, is that a normal person? Disney World on the weekends?
It's normal if you live an hour and a half from Disney, Jill.
It's like, I just need you to know that to the rest of the world, that is not normal. It's like maybe Disney World for that one amazing vacation if we can afford it. So just, I'm just trying to like present the reality here.
Well, I wanted to YOLO, okay? I wanted to go big.
I get you.
Okay, so that's, spoiler alert, that's what I wanted to do. And gosh, I loved going out to like bars to get drinks. I loved fancy coffee. Like, I just loved everything that cost money. Mm-hmm. And so I had a little inkling of the fact that I didn't make a lot of money. And so I was frugal to an extent. I was frugal on the big things, but I spent a lot on the little things.
Yeah.
And
that'll get you.
That's what gets most people. Like, I wasn't taking trips to Europe or buying new cars. I was just spending a lot in little increments.
Mm-hmm.
And I found it really hard to get rid of my debt. I had $52,000 in graduate loans. I was making less than, or I was making around 45. So I was making less annually than what I owed. And I just didn't see any light at the end of the tunnel. Mm-hmm. I was completely hopeless. So the only thing, the only logical thing to do when you're completely hopeless is to completely ignore it. And that's what I did for several years. I think pretty much from the time I graduated in 2012 until Travis and I got engaged in 2015, I just ignored it. And finally, we got engaged and he was like, I want to pay off my student loans first and foremost. And he had just over 20,000. And I was like, I would actually rather live life. And so I was not on board at first. And I it took some like introspective, like really sitting down and thinking about what I wanted my future to be. I think it helped that we were getting married and that was already a very definitive like life marker. So everything else was changing. So like it just made sense that I could change my perspective on where my finances were going. And like eventually I decided wanting to one day like be able to like stay home with my kids or be able to like move if Travis got a job somewhere, or like having the financial freedom to make those life decisions was more important to me than any latte or drink or Florida resident Disney pass. And that was, I mean, that took a few weeks to like make that adjustment. To just get on board initially took a few weeks. The actual process of changing my lifestyle and habits, sometimes I feel like it's still going on. I know it's still going on. What am I saying? I know it's still going on. I had to go through such a 180 during those 2 years that we were paying off our debt. We did most of it just by getting side jobs. Mm-hmm. Like we out earned ourselves and I learned frugality along the way. But it's not what ultimately like got me to pay off debt.
Yeah.
And so after 23 months, we had paid off almost $78,000.
It's amazing.
And it was like 53 was my student loan, like 20 was his student loan, and then we had a couple thousand on my Corolla. And so we said no a lot during that time. And the reason that I ultimately chose to not go with a student loan forgiveness was that fact that initially what got me on board in the first place was envisioning my future. And like my future didn't include 10, 20, or 25 years of like 40-hour a week working. It just didn't. And so instantly those things were off the table for me. And I think doing it fast was like ripping the Band-Aid off was the ultimate way that it got done. Mm-hmm. And because it wasn't sustainable at all.
Yeah, I can't imagine. I mean, yeah, you guys did no spend challenges. You were working till 10 p.m. most days. Yeah.
I had to use no spend challenges as a way to like make myself be more frugal. Like that's how I learned it. And then I wrote like a book about it because I wanted to help people do what I had done. And yeah, so it was this intense journey that led me to where I am now, is that we are 10 months debt-free besides our house. Oh, and we also bought a house while we were paying off debt too, which is not something I'd recommend for everyone, but it was just like another thing that we did. We kept our heads down and we just plowed through everything.
Mm-hmm.
Not sustainable. But like now we're 10 months out and I I can't remember any of the things I said no to, like coffees or dinners or trips or anything. But what I do carry with me are all of the lessons I learned about myself and what I value and what I want from life. Yeah. And I have quit all the part-time jobs, but I have kept the frugality.
I think that's one of the things that's like most surprising about this conversation and just finances in general is how interconnected it is to other parts of our personhood, our relationships. And as we kind of are on this journey and talking about being debt-free or living more frugally, like that it's pulling these other areas out of noticing things about ourselves, maybe prompting change in other areas, prompting deeper conversation, more intimacy in relationship, more openness, more vulnerability. These things that you like you wouldn't expect from something so seemingly shallow and superficial, but yet, yeah, what how intertwined it is to the rest of life and what it can do to focus on this a little bit and to challenge yourself in certain areas, to be disciplined. I mean, disciplined in any area of life, much less finances, which everyone needs to some extent. Yeah, there's so much to it, more than you would expect.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. Like, I have learned more about non-financial related things through this debt-free journey than I would have ever learned without it. Like, I could not have learned these lessons. And so I'm super thankful for it. And I want that to be an encouragement for anybody else trying to pay off debt, is that this is a very short season in the scope of your life and financial journey. So
it can be, it can be short, right?
Right.
People could continue to accrue debt, but
yeah, ultimately if you're trying to pay it off and you're committed, like then it's going to be a short season
exactly.
of your life.
So yeah.
Jill, how about you?
Student loans. So student loans is the only debt that I've known. So that's good and bad. Good that I haven't gotten myself into credit card debt or anything else, but sad because I really hate having debt. I graduated with not a ton. I had about $30,000 of debt. But I will say, and I know we're talking about how to save on your student loans, like assuming you already have them. But I will say that if there's anybody listening who hasn't gotten into this boat yet, just like some words of warning is that number one, it's real money. And that just didn't occur to me at 18. Like, especially like all these advisors are talking to you about, oh, you qualify for this and this and this. And, you know, we're going to, and just the excitement of it and the new state of life, and they make it kind of seem like, oh, and then you get this amount covered in your financial aid package, but most of your financial aid package is money you will have to pay back. It seems like at the time that, oh, it's all covered. I got this. And I knew in the back of my mind that's a loan, but I don't know. I guess I thought things were just going to work themselves out or it wasn't that big of a deal.
Yeah, you don't
I don't
know
have to worry
like
about it now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, how can you fathom that much money at 18? You shouldn't be able to.
Yeah, especially when you think you're going to make $300,000 and go to Disney on the weekends.
Am I right?
So I think just it is real money. You don't have to do what all your friends are doing because I don't talk to a single person that I knew in high school. I'm probably a little bit rare on that one, but I wish that I would have done community college and gotten my prereqs out of the way. So anyhow, if you're in that boat, consider some alternative options. Consider picking up a trade, consider getting your experience first and really being sure that this is what you want your degree to be in and then go do it. I just cannot stress that enough. But for those of us who did do it, thanks to our 18-year-old selves. Yeah. So I graduated with $30,000, in student loan debt. Eric was the wise one of us, and he has no student loans, so it's us together. which for the average couple might be pretty easy to pay off, but we're a little bit non-traditional in even like the career paths that we've taken. And everything else we try to pay like for cash in. So we are still working to chip away at this. And some of the things that we do, so I think a lot of this loan, paying back student loans, is also this conversation of how to pay down debt, how to avoid debt. And so I think our frugal living and what has propelled us even more so into this lifestyle are my student loans. So our move to live in the RV, to sell that, to house it, to live with my grandmother, like all these different things are a part of it. It's leading to so much more, but it's also to help us pay down the debt fast, as quickly as possible, get that out of the way. So I think that there are some ways even beyond looking for loan forgiveness. You can also just look at areas of life that can be cut. And so that's how we've approached our debt. And I think I feel this responsibility to it. Like I signed off on that. Like I received an education. I agreed to pay that much. Although now I think it's far too much for what I received. But regardless, I agreed to pay that. So I do feel this responsibility to pay it and not have somebody else just take it away. Yes. So there's some aspects there. But also, in getting my master's degree recently, I did not want to go into debt for it. So I wanted that degree, but I did not want to do it if it meant debt. And we were able to do that. So while I still have debt from my undergrad, we were able to live, put me through a master's program, and not accrue any more loans or debt for that, which was amazing. And we were able to do that through flipping the RV, living simply, living frugally. And really, whenever extra money comes in, we throw it at the loan. So like, as fun as a bonus could be to go buy new couches, we throw it to the loan. So I think really having your sights set on that and being tenacious with it, it'll get it done fast. So I anticipate probably in a year being debt free. I hope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll be fun to chronicle the rest of your journey, like while we're doing the podcast too, and see how these things have like helped you be able to throw more money at the loan. Because like hopefully that's the point of all of the other episodes that we do, like helping you save money and spend less. That is what is going to help you pay off your debt faster. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the point, that's the moral of this episode, is that the faster you pay it off, like that is what's going to save you the most money, the most time, the most emotional like turmoil, like all of that.
And the goal of this podcast, like I am encouraged in talking with you weekly, Jen, in interacting with our Facebook group, that there's other people out there doing this. There's just something about being a part of a community who also values these same things that can put a fire under my butt. Like now I'm like, okay, yeah, where's that extra $20 I found recently? How can I go throw that at my loan? You know, just whatever it takes, I'm energized for it the more we talk about it. And when I see that other people have done it, it's like, oh, I want to be there. I want to get that next step. Not just so I can be like, oh, I accomplished something, but to say I paid that off. I don't owe anybody. Like my money's my money now.
Yes. Amen. And yeah. And I think another like reason, there's a million reasons we're doing this podcast, but like there are very few things that you can listen to an hour a week that are like motivating you to spend less and like giving practical tips on how to do it. And that's what we wanted to be. Like we wanted to be that for the debt-free community, for the financial independence community. Like this is a very narrowly focused podcast for a reason.
Right. And it's cool to hear feedback from people on how we're doing and what they're gaining from it. Speaking of reviews and ratings.
Yes. So we're going to start this thing because we've gotten like a like about 30 reviews so far. And so we really wanted to highlight some of our favorites because they are super kind and also a little funny.
We've got some great listeners reviewing us.
We're going to highlight this first one. It's from Elizabeth Pena. Thank you so much, Elizabeth. She says, love Jill and Jen. Love this female-driven podcast on frugality and simplicity. It's refreshing in a world of bloggers that tell us what to buy next and what we need. This podcast offers a contemplative way to consume. Also, they don't scream at you like Dave Ramsey, so that's a plus. So, thank you, Elizabeth. We will not screaming. I'll keep it together and reserve my screams for student loan scammers.
That was my favorite when I read that. I think I literally laughed out loud when I said that.
Like, I did too.
Plus, they don't scream at you like Dave Ramsey. I'm like, oh my word, I totally know what she means.
I know. Yeah. So cool. If you want to like support us and maybe have your review read, please visit Apple Podcasts and leave us a review. And we read them all anyways.
We read them all, but we're only going to read 5-star reviews out loud on our podcast, just so you know.
So we want to just highlight some of the funny things that our community is saying because we get a kick out of it. And we're here to entertain you too. So I'm glad that you are in turn entertaining us.
Yeah. It's a give and take.
Yeah, it's a give and take for the laughs.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we are about done today. Jill, you have anything to wrap us up with?
That's all. Get out of debt.
Yeah, do it. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. And if you think that more people should hear about frugality and frugal living, then definitely go ahead and leave us that review on Apple Podcasts and hit the subscribe button so that you can get new episodes every Frugal Friends Friday. And join our Facebook group. We talk about it all the time. It's at frugalfriendspodcast.com/group. We are always asking questions about what we're recording so that we can include you in on the conversation because Jill and I are not the end-all be-all on frugality. We definitely want to hear everything that you guys are doing because a lot of it we either haven't heard of or have forgotten about. So join the group and check out our show notes for all of the links to today's articles and some funny pictures and stuff on our website. All right. Ciao.
See you later.
Frugal Friends is produced, edited, and mixed by Eric Sirianni.
This is the bill of the week. This is the bill of the week. This is the bill of the week. Buffalo Bill, Rock Bill, Duck Bill, What Bill, Huh Bill, Who Bill, You're a Bill, I'm a Bill, Who's a Bill, What's a Bill, What's your Bill?
I want that to be in the episode.
B-I-double-L.
Oh.